it is nicer to run a meeting in person than it is telephonically. It is one of the challenges of the present moment, without question. Turn things to the rector, perhaps, to give kind of a welcome, and then we can get to the roll call, and then we can turn to the consent agenda very quickly, and then turn to Fran.
Thank you, Taylor. Well, first of all, it's wonderful that we can all meet, even if it's remotely, and during the challenging times that we find ourselves as people and individuals and communities and as a nation, it's nice to be able to get together and have continuity with this great BOV and particularly with the reappointments of Catherine, Polly, and Stephen. It's great that we're staying together as a team, charting the course for this wonderful, beloved university in challenging times, but I think that's where we can really shine, and I think Longwood has a lot of great attributes that, and the Farm Bill community, of course, that we can respond to these crises and meet these challenges as a team. So, so glad to have you all participate in this. I wish it was face-to-face, but and excited to have Fran give her wisdom today. I want to start at least with a roll call, if we can.
Yeah, I think we can. Eileen.
Present.
And Catherine.
Present.
Mike.
Present.
Stephen. David?
Present.
The rector is here. Colleen?
Present.
Nadine?
Present.
Larry?
Present.
Polly?
Present.
Rashawn?
Present.
Cookie? Pia?
Present.
Wonderful. And then I think Lee Bidwell is on the line as well, as well as likely a number of other folks. Why don't we do the consent agenda,
sure.
And then I will extol Fran and turn things over to Fran.
Okay. Can I get a motion to approve the consent agenda with the caveats being that we're all familiar with the current litigations going on around Title IX, and we will approve it, and we will adjust as Title IX clarity is found in the community and with these ongoing litigations. Can I get a motion, please?
This is Pia, so moved.
Second?
Second.
Thank you. Agenda approved.
Thank you, Mr. Rector.
Yes. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Rector. And just for the record, the litigation is not Longwood specific. Just
thank you.
National litigation.
National.
That's unfolding. Well, it is a real. Hey, David. That is amazing. Fran, you didn't tell me.
Do we have a motion for a happy birthday for Fran?
Happy birthday. We'll thank you for washing our hands later.
Well, Fran, you did not reveal that to me. Happy birthday, Fran. Happy birthday. That is wonderful. That is really wonderful. It's an honor to have a few minutes of Fran's time this morning. Lots of us know Fran really well. Those of you who don't, when you think of what makes the Commonwealth great, Fran ought to be what ought to be the incarnate person that pops to your mind. So Fran and I have toiled together for the better part of this century, and are long friends. But Fran makes higher education in Virginia work. She was at Chev to start her career for a long time, and then was at William & Mary for a long time, and then has been the Deputy Secretary of Education in the Norwood administration from the start, and has been just absolutely indispensable through these hard months on a whole range of fronts, whether it's COVID, the financial question, the equity question. And it is a joy every time I get to talk to Fran and think through things with her. And so it's a joy to have her with us. And with that, I will give the electronic conch shell to you, Fran, for whatever wisdom you may have.
Reopen.
Chef will send out instructions today, if they've not already done so, to help institutions as they look to address the guidance document. We will make experts available next week to help campuses, both public and private, answer questions as they seek to meet the stipulations in the guidance document. And I'll stop there and say I know many are well on their way to developing their own documents and their own plans, with many hundreds of hours spent by students, faculty, and staff, and leaders like yourself. And many folks are well on the way, but some institutions are still getting started as they get some guidance from us. The plans ultimately must be certified by CHEV, and we've given institutions and CHEV to certify the documents by July 6th. Just excited about where we are with this process. It was a long time coming, but not surprisingly, Virginia is still out there earlier than many states with this guidance. I'll also note that with the change in the executive order that happened a week or so ago, we did free up the language to allow institutions to start doing some in-person instruction for those that come to campus, work in their labs, play in the music, practice rooms, and the like. But as you look to reopen with dining and residential services, we wanted to provide you some guidance to help you all do that. I do want to also talk a minute about sort of where Virginia is fiscally. And you all have been following along just like everybody else. Many folks have lost their jobs. Many businesses are going out of business. There are signs of life, which is very encouraging. But from a state budget standpoint, this is going to be a very difficult time. The state secretary of finance has indicated that we are likely to see anywhere from $800 to $1 billion deficit this year, and then going into the next year, which could be anywhere from $1 billion to $1.5 billion. All of the institutions, to their credit, have made some hard choices and are making some really tough plans. And I compliment Longwood for some of the very difficult choices they have made in an effort to protect as many of their folks as possible. We will have more information as the summer goes on, and as you all have read, we expect a special session maybe in late July or in August so we can address just the budget situation that once we have hands on it. But there are more challenging times to come on the budget front, and of course we will continue to engage higher education in those conversations. As the guidance document that the governor released yesterday noted, higher education is a nearly $40 billion business in the Commonwealth, with more, well over 100,000 jobs, and so it is an integral part of the economy. And we will consider you so as we move forward. And I just talk a little bit about the equity. That's a really hard thing to talk about normally, and it is a particularly difficult thing to talk about right now, which makes it all the more important that we do have those conversations now. The state is working hard to coordinate efforts on this front. We are responding to what's happening in the world, in the cities around the Commonwealth. Campuses are really important places for these conversations. And as the summer progresses and as students arrive back on campus, we expect even more conversations. But campuses are the natural and rightful place for these tough discussions, and so I'm excited to engage the campuses this fall as we continue these really important conversations. Taylor mentioned the Title IX suit, and it's a reminder that equity touches everything. Touches education, it touches income, even you spend your time when you're not in the classroom or in your job. And Virginia is going to have to be, because of history and in part because of the leaders we have right now, it's going to need to be a leader in some of these conversations. And as a strong believer in college and university's roles in those conversations, it's a really exciting time, very challenging time, really daunting time, but a really important time to engage higher education. discussion. And grateful for the leadership I've come from our university president. And so with that, Mr. President, I'm happy to take questions or happy to hear thoughts from your board. And just really grateful again to get to say thank you for their service and for your help.
Thank you, Fran. Thank you. And I know you got lots of things to do, especially given that it's your birthday. But I probably do have a few minutes for questions from the BOV if folks have questions. The telephone makes them shy.
Well, I know some of them. They're not shut.
Well, Fran, let me applaud you on the last piece of you know, the campus and the college environment role to have some of these conversations. We as well have been talking about how the board and how Longwood can and the Farmville community be kind of a spearhead of having these kind of conversations and walking through these through conversations and dialogue and thoughtful conversations about the issues that equity issues that still exist and how we're part of the solution moving forward. And I do believe those start with conversations, and so much of the higher ed environment, it seems more recently, has been it's been more about restricting conversations, and I think it's an important revitalization in that purpose, in that charter. So,
for sure. Thank you for that.
Well, everybody is being shy. Fran, maybe, and I think the short answer to this is nobody quite knows, but the timing of the reconvened session is still up in the air, and it sounds like possibly as quick as late July, but maybe more likely sometime in August. Does that still seem about right?
Yes, sir. I think that's exactly right. Indicated yesterday that we'll be getting information through July, and so though a few folks have read comments about it potentially being in July, I think it is more likely to be in August, just to allow the folks who keep track of the information to be able to get that, so that they can make some you know, decisions and set up the conversation. The other piece about the reconvened session, the governor intends to call it for the budget purposes, but there is conversation among the legislature of whether they expand that conversation to include things around social justice, equity, and some of the other really important conversations going around right now.
Yeah.
Fran, could you touch on just briefly a little bit about what conversations you're having in Richmond with the other half of the COVID response team, for lack of a better term, with the Department of Health, and how you see education coalescing with health to face the possible rise of a second outbreak or localize.
For sure, and I think in a large way, all three of the topics that we touched on are very connected. And for sure, the COVID question and the education piece in particular. I think, the governor rolled out his plan for K-12 on Tuesday. Higher education doesn't have quite that specific a set of phases, because we recognize you all have, you know, very different scenarios, but we have worked very closely with BDH, and I could not be more complimentary of them. They, if anybody, have had, you know, a huge challenge starting this spring, and have spent much of the early time just trying to keep fires from turning into major blazes, and but did spend a lot of time with us, you know, picking their head up and looking a little further down the road. One of the things that was very interesting to work on with them is getting them to understand, and this is not critical at all, that they have been working very hard and looking, just trying to not step off the edge of the cliff, but for them to understand the length of time that a board and an institution needs to have in order to make some decisions for the fall. And so they have been very thoughtful about that. They have developed some strong testing guidance for institutions, which is also available, as well as some guidance on the relationship between an institution and the local health department. And they have come around to, you know, looking at all the science and results around the world, that, you know, the testing piece is as much a mitigation strategy, but not a, you know, you don't test everybody when they show up every day, but to be much more targeted and effective. And so they have been working hand in hand, and Taylor might want to chime in too, but they are very committed to being helpful. This is what they do. They, you know, they, their ultimate goal is to keep as many Virginians healthy and safe as possible, and they have continued to make themselves available to us throughout the process.
Yeah, I would say, echoing what Fran was, everything Fran was saying too, that VDH has been a strong partner and is ready to be a strong partner over the year ahead too, and that's been a real comfort through it all. And Fran and I in particular have spent at this point more hours than we could count talking to VDH officials about higher ed in the fall. I want to be mindful of Fran's time. She's been very gracious to be with us, and I promised her just a half hour. Fran, thank you so much. It's really been great.
Thank you very much, Fran, and happy birthday.
Thanks, Paul. I hope the best for a really great board meeting the rest of the day. I'm sorry folks can't see each other, but that will happen again, and I hope everybody has a wonderful weekend. And again, thanks to everybody for their service on the board.
Thank you, Fran. Thank you. We're going to break into song now.
Okay. Then I'm definitely hanging up.
All right,
you guys. Thank you very much.
Thank you for your time.
Thanks, Fran.
Thank you, Fran. That was great. Fran really is one of the busiest people in the state right now, and to get a few minutes with her is a special thing. I also want to be mindful of you all's time. I know some of you have a hard stop at 12. So in that vein, let me seize the gavel from the rector and perform my annual duty of overseeing the elections of board officers, which we usually do with just a little bit more pomp and ceremony when we all get to be together. Something that is a great virtue and a great strength for us over the year ahead is we've got for the first time in my 7 years with Polly and Catherine and Stephen's reappointment, the same board, and that's a great thing to have stability in the midst of the storm that we're in. And I believe the rector Dooley asked David Halleck to lead the charge, as he does in somewhat of a ancestral customary role now, in thinking through nominations. And I will ask Mr. Halleck to offer nominations for rector, vice rector, secretary, and member at large of the executive committee.
Thank you, Mr. President. Appreciate that. And we don't have any new members. Everybody's been through this process before. And in at least recent times, our preference for kind of continuity and stability purposes has been to have, you know, while we elect the rector, vice rector, secretary, and at-large board member of the executive committee on an annual basis, to the extent possible, to essentially have two-year terms for that purpose. So we have the easy task today, unless there are any additional motions from the floor, to simply renominate our current slate. And so I would move that we vote in a block on the current slate of officers, our rector, vice rector, secretary, and at-large board members to be the same as they currently are.
Thank you, David. I believe Eric, Pia, Mike, and Eileen are willing parties. As a parliamentary matter, we don't need a second. All in favor? Oh, well, I should ask first. Any nominations from the floor apart from those that David has just mentioned? As a parliamentary matter, no need for a second. All in favor of the slate of officers recommended, please say aye.
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 And any opposed? Well, congratulations, you all. Thank you, David. Thank you all. That's a great thing.
It's a great honor.
Thank you. Thank you. All right, well, let me, watching the clock, let me offer just a couple quick thoughts, which in some way just amplify on things Fran was saying, and then I will pass things over to Louise to talk us through tuition and fees and the budget, such as it is right now, for FY21. And then I think, as a parliamentary matter, Mr. Rector, you all could then take action on tuition fees on the budget as one piece at the end.
Okay.
The couple quick thoughts I would offer begin with really expressing my profound thanks to everyone, to the board. You all have been a font of wisdom and a time of solace for me through all this. To the faculty and staff, faculty in particular, worked heroically to shift gears in a way that was unprecedented in the middle of the spring semester to keep everyone on track and keep our students engaged and as best we could flourishing. A thanks that I can't even begin to do justice to all of the VPs, you know, put them in charge of the galaxy and things would be better. They are a splendid squad that it's a joy to get to be with every day. And we are dealing with really hard things per Fran's thoughts. It is worth keeping in mind gathered just how severe the toll of COVID has been thus far. 114,000 Americans have died of COVID-19. It's worth keeping in mind how horrific the toll of unemployment is. 44.1 million Americans have lost their jobs since the middle of March. You can't even really fathom that. The unemployment numbers yesterday seemed hardly even made the news, but it was 1.5 million people. And to put that in perspective, the highest total before COVID-19 for unemployment in America since the Department of Labor began keeping track was in 1982, during the recession 1982. When 675,000 Americans claimed unemployment. So a number that didn't even make the news yesterday, 1.5 million, is more than twice as big as the highest total before this crisis began. I do profoundly hope that in the eyes of history, ultimately, the thing that emerges from all of this that will be uplifting and for the great good is the reckoning that's occurring on racial matters now. I do think that may really present itself as a lasting change, and Longwood is utterly dedicated to making that happen, and it is worth noting that the most diverse part of Longwood is our board of directors, our board of visitors, and that's something that gives me great courage for the future too. Before I actually turn things to Louise, this is a bit prosaic in contrast to all those things that I've just mentioned. But while we're gathered, it's worth also just itemizing the things, especially as it relates to COVID, that we have worked through over the past 3 months together. So we were one of the Virginia universities, because we were in session, that had COVID positive cases. That was quite a moment, and we handled that. We then had to figure out how to shift to going online fully for the first time in, you know, the history of American higher education across the land, the first time in our 180 plus years. The faculty were remarkable in that. We then had to figure out how to get everybody at Longwood functionally to telework. That was a massive effort. We then had to figure out how to, on the one hand, keep students in housing on campus who really, really needed to be in housing on campus, while on the other hand, closing down our housing from a public health standpoint without endangering our students. That was a huge labor. We then had to figure out how to do refunds for housing and dining. That was a huge labor. We then had to figure out how to change graduation, that moment when traditionally 8,000 to 10,000 people are gathered on Wheeler Lawn. That means the world to students and families. We then had to work through the very difficult task of thinking through the coming year from a fiscal standpoint, and the salary actions, temporary salary actions that we took to avoid having to do anything else, and that I think is to Longwood's great credit and true to the spirit of the place. We then had to navigate how to conduct an admission cycle and bring it to culmination when we couldn't deploy one of our greatest things to deploy, which is our beautiful campus, because we couldn't bring people here. Then, as Fran was saying, the state has been in the midst of coordinating education from preschool through higher ed with regards to COVID. I've been lucky enough to be one of the people very closely involved in that. But now we've got the work ahead of implementing the state's guidance. All those things, if you don't have an understanding of higher ed or ears for higher ed, might sound relatively straightforward. All of those things have been hideously complicated, and I'm proud of the way Longwood has done it. We've done it together, and we will get through to the other side. When all this started, I had the VPs gathered in this room, and I installed, and I said, we're probably facing the worst thing that American higher ed has faced since at least World War II, and the foremost thing we have to keep in mind is we got to make sure that we can start Longwood back up again soon enough, and I think we're gonna get there. All right, I'm gonna turn things over to Louise.
Can I add something?
Yeah, please.
So I know I speak for the whole Board of Visitors in this compliment of all of you, because I think the way that you pulled the strategy together to deal with the fiscal cliff, and that you all collectively and communally sacrificed. Having gone through something similar in a dark year for my business in 2012, my personal experiences has brought the team together tremendously, and it shows the true character of this team and highlights what servant leadership is all about more than anything. So I thank you all personally for that sacrifice, and I thank you all for coming up with what I think is an equitable and fair approach to solving a problem that no one could have anticipated. So.
Thank you, Mr. Rector. Eric has been such a help in thinking through all these things. Louise, you are up.
Okay. Thank you very much. I'm happy to be here today to talk about tuition and fees and the operating budget. Yes. Can you, am I unmuted? Okay. Can you hear me now? Okay. Wonderful. Thank you. It was really great having Fran on the phone prior. I can't understate how important it is what the state is going through and what the direct impact it has.
I'm sorry, this is Eileen. I can't hear you. Okay.
You
want to
just talk through
yeah.
this?
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm coming. Can you hear me now?
Yeah. Yes.
Okay. Yay, wonderful. Half the battle.
We're literally passing the conch shell
around. Well, thank you again. It was really great having Fran on the phone today. It really helps set the table for what our discussion will be on tuition fees and the budget. What we deal with here from a financial standpoint is so closely tied to the state and the challenges that they're dealing with also. You know, prior to COVID, I was optimistic that we would be able to recommend to the board a flat tuition, no tuition increase. But obviously, COVID had a massive impact on a lot of things, including the state's budget. Tuition moderation funding, which we were optimistic we would receive 2.1 for holding tuition flat, does not look very optimistic at this point. In response to that, we have worked very, very hard and developed what I consider a very modest and reasonable increase to our tuition and comp fee, about 2.88% for students taking 30 credit hours. I feel that this is very reasonable. It still keeps us in line with many other state institutions or well below our average increase over the past 7 years. I am very happy that we are able to keep the tuition increase flat for our graduate programs. Dr. Perry has done a lot of research, and we feel that this is very much in line to keep our graduate programs competitive. But overall, I feel that these tuition and fee increases are very reasonable. And of course, if the tuition moderation funding does become available, we'd be happy, or I would recommend that we would be happy to roll back the tuition increases in exchange for the tuition moderation funding. Before I move on to the operating plan or budget discussion, I'm happy to take any questions about the tuition and fee proposal. Okay. Hearing none, I will move over to our operating plan. I think all of you have worked with budgets before, I know, and I think you'll all recognize that when developing a budget, it's very much an art and a science. I think this year it is a little bit different, though. I think we probably have more of the art influence this time. There are just candidly so many unknown factors involved in developing this budget. Our enrollment, while Victoria's admissions team has done a truly wonderful job and we are optimistic, I think that we all need to be cognizant of the fact that we won't really know our true enrollment until our students walk through the door in August. And I think we are all read enough and heard enough about the threat of a potential 20% decrease in enrollment across the country to know that we can't be naive about what our potential enrollment could be. And I think Fran said it best earlier.
Hey Louise, there's a beep going on. If there's anybody that maybe has a beep on their end, that they could, I don't think it's
old, I think. Somebody may have put it on hold.
Yeah. The beep may be unavoidable, so we might have to just live with the beep. It's the gremlin that's come to this particular emergency telemeeting.
Maybe the beep's gone. Look at that. But I think our state support is also an area of unknown that we need to be aware of. You know, $1 billion is a big, big number, and we really don't know how this will impact Longwood and what our portion of any type of helping address this issue will be. So, with those in mind, this budget has been developed to be agile and flexible, and helped in a bit and adapt as certainties become known. We have already jumped to combating the challenges. The payroll action has been referenced already. And I also am very proud of Longwood. I'm proud, so proud of our faculty and staff. It was incredibly heartwarming that the reaction and how proud people were to be able to help and contribute to Longwood's future. This did create about $3.3 million in savings to the institution. I'm also happy to share that the VPs have all worked very hard within their own budgets and been able to find salary savings from holding positions and some operating savings as well. This has produced about $4 million in savings for us. All of these actions were absolutely critical. As we move forward, our revenue projection for the year is just under $133 million for our budget. This is very much in line with what we did last year. Of this, about $37.4 million is anticipated to come from tuition and NG fees. This assumes the 3% increase that was proposed. We have tried to be very conservative with enrollment, knowing that we really aren't sure at this point. The general fund state support, we are anticipating about $31.5 million in state support. This does include the budget that was approved by the General Assembly, which is slightly over last year's. We will know more about what our state funding will be this fall, as President Reevely mentioned, when the General Assembly reconvenes. On our auxiliary side, our revenue is estimated to be about $62 million. Much of this comes from the housing and dining. We did approve increases in December. Housing will increase about an average of 4.25%, and dining has an average increase of about 4%. We have offered something fairly creative to our incoming freshmen. We have decided to reduce our single rate slightly in case there are any students or families that would like to take advantage of a single room versus doubles. We're also optimistic in the revenue that the Real Estate Foundation will be able to help create more revenue in the form of a management fee back to the university. And this revenue forecast for auxiliary also assumes the comp fee increase of 2.69% that has been proposed. On the expense side, on the E&G, we are looking to increase the expenses for the core curriculum at $1.2 million. Civite is an important aspect of Longwood that makes us unique, and it should remain a priority. We're also including $69,000 for faculty raises and promotions. Financial aid, I don't think any of us can argue with how critical financial aid is going to be in the coming months for our students. Part of the state's budget did include about $787,000 additional for financial aid. Well, that money is uncertain at this time. We did feel like it was very important, critical even, to make sure that was accommodated in our budget for our students. On the auxiliary side, the primary increase to expenses will be Curry coming online. Curry coming online creates lease payments to the Real Estate Foundation in excess of $2 million to cover debt service on these newly renovated buildings. We're also budgeting about $1.3 million on the auxiliary side to cover expenses related to COVID. Dining costs have increased. When we rebid the Aramark contract, we wanted to increase our food service to our students. This is something we felt was critical for recruitment and retention purposes. So what we have presented to you today is a balanced budget, but it does have many uncertainties that we are fully aware of, and we are continuing to actively evaluate different strategies as well in case we need to find additional savings. We're looking at reduction in travel, continued pausing on hiring except for mission critical positions, working with our vendors and contractors to see where we can have savings within our contracts, energy efficiencies, looking at where we can pause on design, as well as looking to the Real Estate Foundation to continue to help find efficiencies within the housing enterprise. So in summary, I'm happy to answer any questions about the budget, but I think the biggest takeaways that I'd like everyone to remember is this budget will change. As information becomes available and things become certain, we will be modifying this budget. And I think it's fair to say that this next year will be challenging, but we will also be okay. I can say that with absolute certainty. We're not being naive about what lays ahead of us, and our eyes are wide open, and we're prepared to address it. So, if there are any questions, I'm happy to answer them.
Do you mind touching just briefly? We talked about it in executive about mm-hmm. the bond.
Sure.
That's a big piece.
Yep, I'm happy to. The Real Estate Foundation, has been working very hard, really over a year now, to consolidate all of the housing within the Real Estate Foundation. This was also refinanced what we call our 2017 series, which was the debt on Curry and Fraser. So we were able to issue public bonds. This was in the public market. This is not a private placement with one lender. So we're very, very happy to have just priced on this on Wednesday. We priced the bonds. This has a number of advantages. It will help with liquidity. It mitigates our financial exposure and risk for years to come because these bonds are set, fixed and set, and we can forget them for 39 years, which is a wonderful accomplishment. And the housing efficiencies that I mentioned, we are very positive that we'll be able to glean some housing efficiencies from being able to manage it under one housing portfolio.
So, Bill must be thrilled.
What?
Bill must be thrilled.
Bill is thrilled. Bill is quite thrilled, I have to say. And I've been so intertwined in the bond market that it sometimes it's been such a saga that it's even hard to put into words. But I'm proud to say that this is the first housing deal to be done since COVID. The housing market has been very tied up for bond issuance. Sure. So this is really a breakthrough deal that I'm very proud of.
Congratulations to you and Justin. Yeah.
And one thing to be mindful of with this budget too, more broadly, is as much as we're in a climate of austerity, we're also by necessity and by virtue continuing to need to figure out how to do new things as well, whether it be continuing to evolve things that have been in motion for a while like Civite, or thinking through how to make vital investments and equity considerations. So we're doing the hard work of needing to be mindful of the austerity of the climate while also continuing to press forward, which is a delicate balancing act, and one that Louise does very well.
How much can you talk just briefly, and it's probably not well defined at this point, but how much, either as a percentage or a dollar amount, of the expenditures for classes do you find are specific to COVID? Maybe like investments in IT or I hear like camera, video, remote, as a give and take of how this all plays out in the fall.
It's been hard. So they're maybe a way to think of it is kind of hard costs and soft costs, hard, utterly novel costs, and then kind of reallocation of natural expenditure. So the true hard cost is unpredictable too. But it seems like it's going to be on the order of $1.5 million. And then there is a a vast amount of soft costs. So if you, for instance, just contemplate the people energy that goes into addressing all of this, and will go into all of this, that's almost at an incalculable scale, just because of its, you know, who could tell what really is what. IT is a good example where we're naturally, you know, we have natural IT expenditures over the course of any given year that we're pushing in a particular direction with regards to COVID. I'm just looking at the clock, and I do know so some folks have a hard stop. Mr. Rector, it may be a moment to see if other folks on the phone have questions, or if things are ripening to the point where you all might want to vote before we have to break up.
Wanted to weigh in on that issue.
Okay. Yeah. Steven. Thank you, Steve. Thank you. The record will duly reflect it. Hey. Thank you, Eileen. Louise is a star.
Is a star. So with that, any other comments or questions for Louise, or can we move to accept the budget?
Yeah, and so as a formal matter, Pia. And just as a kind of a nuance to the motion, you all would be approving tuition fees as presented and the budget as presented.
Yes. Including the adjustment to tuition and fees.
Yep, the 2.8%. Yep.
Thank you, Madam Vice Rector.
So do I have a second? Okay. All in favor of accepting the budget as presented and the tuition and fee changes for the next year?
Aye.
Aye. Any in disagreement? Thank you. Thank you.
Well, thank you,
Louise.
All. Thank you, Louise. Thank you all, truly. And Eric, the witching hour may have come. If you want to wrap us up, and then we can be concluded.
Sure. I hope our next meeting together will be face to face. But I'm so glad that you all are here and can participate, and that we have continuity with the board membership going forward. But without further ado, this will be a wrap on today's BOV remote meeting, and thank you all for your participation and your comments and your feedback.
Thank you all so much. I'll talk to you soon.
Thanks, everyone. Thank you.
Have a good weekend.
Bye.